Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. My name is KM on the FM, and I'm your host for this week's Grad Chat. A show like this could not happen without the support of the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs and CFRC, so a big thank you to both of them. If you miss the show at any time, you can download the podcast the next day on either iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify, or CFRC Podcast. It's a great way to stay informed about all the exciting research our graduate students and postdocs are working on. And today, I'd like to introduce you to a special guest, my colleague Amanda Gray. Amanda is the manager, Graduate Recruitment and Success, and she'll also be starting her master's in the School of Religion under the supervision of Dr. Richard Ascoff in September. Welcome to Grad Chat, Amanda.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, and I'm excited to dive into like your role and your research or future research. But before we get into all of that, could you tell us a little bit about your journey to Queen's and at Queen's so far?
Sure. So I grew up around Kingston, grew up north of the city, and then I spent about my undergraduate life and then about 11 years in London, Ontario. And at a certain point in time, I just decided that I wanted to become closer to my family because driving over 5 hours to come home to see people was a bit much.
Yeah.
And I then started to make my journey back towards this region. Stopped at Fleming College for about 6 years as an international student advisor.
Very nice.
And then I saw a job posting for the Queen's University International Center, which is actually a place I'd visited in my previous roles. And I always enjoyed the work they did. I liked, I just liked the feel. And so when I saw the job, I applied for it and they hired me.
Amazing.
So I was like, yay.
And how long were you a student advisor at Quick?
So I was international student advisor at Quick for about 6 years.
Wow.
So I started my accreditation of an international student immigration advisor, RECIA, and currently I'm a regulated Canadian immigration advisor, so an RCIC, which encompasses supporting our programs and sometimes our students in navigating changes to immigration policy that may be coming through, but working really closely with Quick because with the immigration, the international student advisors at Quick because they advise students.
Yeah. So now you're in the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs. So what made you interested in moving to this department?
So I was really interested in moving to this department because, well, one, Colette. I think everyone on campus knew Colette, and I always really admired her energy, and she was always really passionate about graduate studies. And working in Quick, I worked a lot with graduate students, and it was always just so invigorating to hear them talk about their research and what they were passionate about. And so when I saw the position come up, I decided that I would take a chance and apply. And also, it took me back into recruitment a little bit, so I did a little bit of that at Western. And it's just an area that I find interesting. Also, once you're in a position for a little while, it feels safe. You no longer feel like you're pushing yourself maybe as much as you should. And this felt like a role that would definitely take me out of my comfort zone and start to push me and start to use some of the, start to use some of the brain, areas of my brain that maybe I hadn't been utilizing because I just become very comfortable in how the cycle would run for international student advisors as we're going through the year.
So with all of this change, I think it's fair to say this is a big portfolio. So what are some things that excite you and what are some challenges that you are currently undertaking?
Some things that excite me, I think it's a really interesting role because while it has aspects of what Colette used to do, it does have new things in it. So I find it's almost like a development role. It's something that I could make my own and change and look at what I want to focus on. Some of the challenges, I think they come down to what everyone's experiencing. We never have enough time in our lives to do everything we want. And then also, I'm having to do a lot of research, which everyone's going to think is funny. But yes, as staff, we have to do research and understand. And again, it was pushing me outside of my comfort zone. So everything is new. So I find that I read a lot more articles, I do a lot of research, but I do still love seeing the students when I get to talk to them, and I still get to do that. So, and I love talking to students when they're just thinking about going on their graduate studies because to find out what they're thinking about, there's just an energy there that you just get really excited for them to start.
Yeah, it's very fun to get to learn all about what research is happening, what ideas are circulating. And I mean, you're soon going to be the new host of Grad Chat, so I'm hoping you'll get the opportunity to do that a lot more.
And I'm really hoping I can finally convince a student to create a robot to follow me around that looks like Baby Grogu.
while there are certainly folks in the School of Computing and in the Ingenuity labs that I am sure, and some of the engineering labs that work with robots, I know that they would, I'm sure some folks could do that for you.
I'd be very interested in that. Tried to convince a number of international students to do it for me, but they didn't seem to want to, so...
Well, maybe once you have the grad chat host, you can put your hosting under your belt. You can put the call out more broadly.
I think that you could do a conference on that.
There's some pretty cool stuff going on. I did see recently, I cannot remember what the course code is. I believe it's an undergraduate course that's supported by postdocs and graduate students. But the students have to create autonomous vehicles that navigate a town filled with rubber ducks. So they have to dodge rubber ducks. I mean, it's on like a rug or a simulated town. And these autonomous vehicles have to dodge the pedestrians that are a series of rubber ducks. So there are certainly folks on campus who can help you with your robot assistant.
That would be really cool. I always liked it when I worked in Mitchell Hall, because Quick is located in Mitchell Hall. Whenever there would be like a dignitary or something important happening, they would bring out the animatronic dog. And I was like, I always wanted, like, I think that was so, I'm a dog person, so I was like, it's a dog.
Yes, those are always very cool to see in action. A little scary, but very cool to see in action. And it's very fun to see all the creative ways that students of and postdocs of all levels are interacting with this really cool cutting edge equipment. And I wanted to ask you, what are some of the things you're looking forward to in your upcoming research? I mean, I know you have not started in your program yet, but what general area do you plan to research and specialize in?
Yes. So as my mother would say, I would have been a student my entire life if I could have. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I couldn't. So what I did is I started working at a university. So I decided to go with the School of Religion because my focus, what I want to look into is early Christ groups in ancient Rome and the story that we're told about prosecution. So there's a lot of things within Christianity around prosecution. And so I wanted to look at, were the early Christ groups, like, did they think they were being prosecuted based on, specifically because they were following Christian faith, or was it because they were breaking the laws and social norms of the Roman Empire? Because the Roman Empire, of course, encompassed a lot of the world and had many different faiths in it, languages and cultural groups. So when did this start? Was it at the time or was it later on? But I also know that research, having worked with grad students a lot, research changes.
Yes, it does. So that's the beginning point for your master's, but I guess you'll have to see where your research takes you.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to a podcast about St. Patrick's and I was just like, oh, I don't know. There's a story there, too, that I think needs to be looked in a little bit more.
There are endless potentials that you can take your direction in. So it'll be good that you have Dr. Richard Jaskoff in your corner to help direct you, because otherwise you could go to school forever and research forever. But that's, you know, you can't pay tuition forever, too.
No, you can't. But I always think that I know we're talking about robots and that, but I really do think that history, specifically as a history grad, history and classics are so exciting because we are just like one find away from rewriting everything we thought was true. Like we're just one, like somebody finds, I don't know, like a piece of pottery in some place and then everything we thought we knew is wrong. And we have to kind of start over again. Everyone always thinks that history is, you know, one and done, and that's not how it is. It is changing all the time based on what we find.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. I mean, I'm biased as a historian as well about what you can discover and rediscover and reinterpret as you get into the archives or, in your case, maybe some older artifacts and different writings. I'm not sure what will encompass your data, I guess. But what inspired your interest in this topic?
So my interest, I always like to say that I am a historian who probably should have been in classics because I grew up in a very small town and we didn't have a lot in, when I went to high school, there weren't a lot of people taking history. So I always thought that ancient Rome, ancient Egypt, ancient Greece, they were all part of history. Then I got to university as a first gen student and realized they're not. But I did get to take some classics courses. And the ancient civilizations always intrigued me because they're more advanced than we think they were. Like we always look back on the past. I think we also look back on the past of, you know, oh, it's more interesting than what we are, than where we're living. And I was sitting in a conference and I was listening to a speaker talk about religion and how it was wound into everything that we were doing. Mm. Even though we don't think it is, it actually is. It actually is part of everything. And then I just remember thinking that, oh, this is a really interesting talk. Mm. But could you stop now? Because there's a documentary on ancient Rome that I want to watch on TVO. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. I've always questioned stories that we get, mm-hmm. and I've always liked ancient Rome. So then I messaged Richard Ascoff and I said, hey, can we talk about this? Mm. And before I knew it, I was applying to the School of Religion.
Yes, if you're not careful, you too could find yourself in a master's program.
You just never know when it's going to happen.
So do you have a sense of what that will look like as you're working full-time and then starting a program? What will your course load look like, I guess?
So I will be taking one course a semester.
Very nice, yeah.
I am going back to school after a number of years out of school. So I expect it will be a very stressful time. Mm. But I know that there'll be a lot of students who will also be feeling that. And I'm very excited to start reading articles again. But I will have to retrain my brain in order to do academic reading as opposed to reading an article for fun.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of all students know that you have to kind of retrain your brain depending on what you're reading and also how to take notes. Mm. So that could be interesting. And I haven't sat in a classroom in person for a very long time. I did take an online program, but this is going to be like in person. So I have to remember, like, you have to be, you know, studious, I guess.
Well, that'd be exciting though. You'll be back in a seminar room and you'll get to meet your fellow cohort and see how that dynamic unfolds, because every cohort brings its own specialties and research interests. You'll all get to meet and mix and share each other and support one another as you start researching. So that'll be very exciting. What do you think, I guess this is hard to say because I'm asking a future question, but how do you think your master's is going to influence or impact your work as the manager of graduate recruitment and success?
So I think that going through my master's will give me a better understanding of what grad students may be experiencing, because sometimes there's a perception that students are just, they all have the same characteristics. Mm. Whereas when you come to graduate students, there's so much more that they could be dealing with. Mm. Grad students with full-time jobs, grad students who are working multiple jobs, students with family, part-time students who are returning after years out of school. So it's just a very interesting dynamic that you have with grad students, because there are so many different ways that they've come and decided to come back to school. Mm-hmm. It's not always like undergrad, master's, PhD. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's undergrad, 20 years, masters. So I think that will give me a better understanding. I did get a much better understanding of the application process. Mm. And I will say that I have talked to our colleagues in SGPSA and said, so have we thought about these changes to make it a little bit easier to navigate? Mm.
Well, it'll be great. It'll be interesting for you to get to see from the other side, so to say, and to get to do both a support role and a student role simultaneously.
Exactly. And I really am trying to convince people in the office that orientation in September, I should just be able to go as a student and not have to be doing any, like, the work and worrying, is this event going to go well? Are students going to have enjoy the time? I just be like, no, I'm just a student. I'm just here attending.
Tell me what I should know.
Yes. What should I know? Tell me what to do.
That'll be a very big event in September. And are there some other events throughout the summer you're looking forward to in your role, that or any events that folks should have on their radar?
So we have our dissertation boot camp, which I always really like, because students are so focused on their dissertations, like on what they're working on, and it's so quiet in the room that you don't want to make any noise. Mm-hmm. Plus there's food. So I'm always, if there's food, this is why you know I'm always a student, because if there's food, I'll be there. Some of the other activities that we're doing are Lake Shift, which is for PhD students at universities in Ontario. Mm-hmm. We'll be going to CUBES, the Queen's University Biology Station, for a week of staying in cabins. I'm not a camper, so this could be very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of August, we'll do our dissertation on the lake, which is just for Queen's State students, and we go to CUBE's other smaller cabin site. So those are two. And then we're also doing the Graduate Transition Academic Success Program, which is for new international graduate students starting at Queen's, and that'll be in August. So a lot of other places, they're doing less over the summer and planning for the fall, but we don't really have that gap in our timeline. We're busy all year.
It's very true. Yes, the SGSPA here is always offering something. There's always programming and support. And I think, some of those summer programs are some of my favorites as well. Like you, I find the dissertation boot camp is such a great time to just see, well, research in action, right? As people are writing their findings and really focused. And I think it can be a really nice place for graduate students to find community as well, because you come to one of these days and you see everyone writing and experiencing some of the roadblocks that are common across, you know, any type of writing, right? You're hitting the dreaded writer's block, or you're just finishing up a section, you're not sure how to transition to the next one, and you can find community with people working across disciplines. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see kind of both a shared struggle, but the solidarity that comes with that as well, and that everyone is able to keep working, and lunch is provided and snacks, so you can just keep writing and keep that flow. So if anyone is looking at the end of May, would highly recommend a dissertation boot camp if you haven't already been before, and as well as the Lake Shift and Dissertation on the Lake. Two really unique programs, I think, to just really dive into writing and make substantial progress.
I think that the boot camps and our day of writing and everything, they're really, I would encourage students to participate in it, because a lot of times once your coursework is done and you just start kind of focusing on your research, you may feel like you're the only one who's experiencing these challenges, these roadblocks, writer's block. It's a thing. We all experience it. But I've seen students who have been in a room with other students, and they just, even if they're not talking, they kind of feel like they have a commitment. So they focus on what they're focusing on. And then at lunchtime, when you hear them start to talk, they're having like conversations over food, they start to learn that everyone is kind of experiencing the same things they are, that they're not alone. Just because when you're in your research or in your doing your lab work, you're not in courses anymore, and it's easier to connect with people when you're sitting in a classroom as opposed when you're on your own. So you have to work a little bit harder to find that community.
I totally agree. Yeah, it can be challenging to keep moving through milestones without the external deadlines of courses, right? A lot of programs will have coursework, and then you may have to write a proposal of some kind. If you're in a master's or a PhD that has a research component, you'll have some type of check-in point where you'll do a proposal, and then you move on to your research. And sometimes, depending on your discipline norms or what type of supervisor relationship or supervision style your supervisor has, you might be largely on your own for extended periods of time in between check-ins. So I think the suite of writing programs that you run really help people reconnect with others and remind themselves that they're not alone, and that they can keep making their own milestones and reaching them with the support of these types of programs and their peers, right? There's a very large and welcoming community of graduate students across campus. So just got to find them. And they're usually in the library at dissertation boot camp.
That's right. They are.
And I know your portfolio is massive. You do a lot of different things. And you're going to start. You'll soon be a graduate student as well on top of this. And you're going to be hosting grad chat. So outside of all of these things, what do you get up to in what spare time you have left?
That'd be interesting. Yeah. Probably less reading for fun.
Yes.
Will be one of the things that I have to say no to. Well, right now, sitting on my deck doing yard work, I like flowers. So they're starting to come up. Not so much cutting the grass, but flowers. I like gardening. I love to knit. So if there are any knitters out there, or any grad students who are knitters and want to come in and do grad chat, we can talk knitting. Share patterns, talk about ripping out patterns, which I've done many times. And then also I have a dog. So and he is not a good study buddy. he feels like if I'm sitting, then all my attention should 100% be focused on him. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he's going to have to learn how to be a good student too.
Yes, he'll have to be a better study buddy. And what is your dog's name?
My dog's name is Ozzy. But he often gets called Ozzy Man.
Ozzy Man.
Yeah, and he is a very expressive and vocal personality.
Okay.
With a stubborn streak. So if any, you know, I could also spend hours talking about my dog. So we have no idea what Gradchat may do.
I mean, a knitting and dog podcast sounds pretty great as well.
I would tune in. Throw a little bit of history in there. I'm there.
And within your knitting, if you see Amanda in the wintertime and she's wearing a beautiful sweater, chances are she's made it herself even. What are some of your favorite patterns or styles? I don't know much about knitting, but what are some things that attract you to a pattern? Like, are you going for something really challenging? Are you looking for a cool design? Like, what are something that goes into picking a pattern and then making yourself a beautiful sweater?
That's a good question. I don't know. Well, first I have to say, and anyone who's a knitter or a crafter will know this, knitting and buying yarn are two separate hobbies.
Ah, yes. I have heard this before.
This is very true. I think it's a pattern picture will catch my eye, and then I'll just want to try it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't – sometimes I'll want – they're called, like, easy wins. So something that you know you've knitted a number of times, you know it's going to turn out. You really don't have to think while you're knitting. Mm-hmm. Those are really good. And then you have other patterns where you actually have to pay attention. Mm. And so those are more challenging. So it depends on the mood you're in. I mean, currently I have a sweater I've ripped out 3 times that I'm working on. But I've knit it before. Like, I have the sweater I wear. But for some reason, this one is just a – now it's a challenge, and I'm going to finish it if it's the last thing I do.
Well, that type of determination, I think, is going to serve you very well in grad school.
The perfectionism may not.
Ah, yes, that can be challenging. So within with this project, when you start, because you said purchasing yarn and knitting are two separate hobbies, does the purchasing of yarn influence the patterns or vice versa or not at all? How does that work?
So, I mean, in the perfect world, you should have a pattern in mind before you go and you buy yarn.
Okay.
However, sometimes you see yarn and it's really nice and you just feel like it needs to come home with you. Mm-hmm. And then it does. But because you don't have a pattern in mind, you usually buy a lot of it or not enough. Mm. And when you buy not enough, then you kind of have to find something that works with it because you're not really sure. And you probably don't need 10 hats in the same color.
Okay, so you've got a certain quantities for certain size projects. Okay,
yeah,
of course that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's and buying yarn is for a lot of people, it's a feel, a touch. Like, you want to be able to feel the material. So it's not something that you can necessarily – it's harder to buy online unless you already know the brand. But I got to tell you, for me, it's like the color. I'm like, ooh, I want that. And then it comes home with me and I'm like, oh, now what will I make with you?
So you make sweaters. You mentioned hats. Are there other things that you've knit before?
Yeah. So sweaters, hats, scarves. I've done socks.
I've heard, are socks really hard?
No, socks aren't hard. Okay. Like, I didn't find them hard. They're just, I don't like knitting them.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Not for any particular reason, but I just, it's not something that I necessarily enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. What else have I knit? Usually I'll try something once. I mean, there was, if you want a real story, I do not like lace work. So lace work is where it's very intricate. It's a thin yarn.
Okay.
And it's very easy for the stitches to fall off the needles as you're knitting. So I knit my mom this beautiful cowl. But at the end of it, I actually wanted to throw the cowl out. I hated it so much. She still wears it to this day. And when she wears it, I mean, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And I just look at it and think, oh, I do not like you.
Like, how frustrating the process was.
Yeah. Yes, I remember it so well. So I have not gone back to lace weight.
Okay.
Because I'm like, no.
Well, one and done, at least your mom benefited from a beautiful handmade gift.
So usually when you do a project, you have like yarn left over. I can safely say that yarn went in the garbage because I couldn't handle it. It was not enjoyable. I will not be doing that again.
ever.
And you make it sound easy, but I have seen Amanda's creations, and they are incredible. So she's very humble about her the projects that she's produced. So I can only imagine how intricate this gift was, if you think it's very intricate, because you say, oh no, this was nothing when you're wearing a beautiful handmade sweater. So
and the truth is that probably the pattern wasn't hard, it was just the yarn and that I kept dropping stitches, and you wouldn't realize that a stitch had dropped until you were like 35 rows past it.
Oh.
And then because it's lace weight, you can't kind of weave the stitch back in, and it throws everything off. So
you just have to restart, I guess.
I'm sorry. I'm getting I had a visceral dislike for this project. I still do not like it. Okay. Sorry.
Lace weight scratched off.
I warned you that this could go anywhere.
And with Aussie man or Aussie. He's a pretty adventurous guy. He likes to be outside a lot and do things. So what do you like to get up to with Ozzy or Ozzy Man?
So Ozzy likes, very fortunate in that I come from a very rural area. Mm. My parents are from a very rural area north of the city. So he loves off-leash walks.
Mm.
He likes to try to flush birds. So his breed is a bird dog.
Okay.
He's not very good at it. You can hear him coming a mile away. Unless he wants treats or your food, and then you can't hear him at all, and then all of a sudden he's just there. And yeah, so he's very much that. So we do off-leash walks. We do some training. He doesn't actually – he likes playing with other kids and dogs, but he's just very – I mean – you know what he's thinking when he looks at you? Like when they say that dogs love their owners because they're the whole world, I'm like, no, half the time Ozzy's just mad at me.
He's expressive in his reactions.
He's very expressive where he's like, man, you do not know what you're talking about. And then he gets very mad when you don't give him his treat on time. Mm. So we do not train our animals. Our animals train us, as you would know with your cat.
Yes.
Yeah. It's their world. We're just living in it.
So lots of off-leash walks, and then whatever he tries to guilt trip you into doing. Or
yes, he loves to. Last night I cut the grass for the first time. So he loves to go out and roll in the freshly cut grass, which is great. Except part of his fur is white, so he comes in with green feet. And then proceeds to walk around the house.
Mm.
Yeah.
He sounds like a messy teenager.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. Yep. Yep. He also doesn't like the basement. So if I'm in the basement, he'll sit at the top step and whine at me.
Oh, to come back upstairs. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So, but it's very funny. I don't know why he doesn't like the basement anymore.
Hmm. Pets are a mystery sometimes, although I know... there are some researchers here on campus who are doing some interesting work with dogs and their owners. So maybe you and Ozzy can go and he can earn some treats. I think it's in a cognitive psychology lab here on campus. So.
I don't think Ozzy and I want to be researched or studied. I feel that I would not like the findings.
Well, Amanda, it has been great chatting with you. Thank you for coming on as a guest today, and I am so looking forward to listening to Grad Chat as you begin hosting. So that's it, everyone. Another week of Grad Chat comes to an end. Don't forget, you can download the show tomorrow from either iTunes, Google Podcast, Spotify, or CFRC Podcast. Just search Grad Chat. And signing off, this is KM on the FM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.